Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about a new federal gun violence initiative, a journalism union's reaction to cutbacks at the Billings Gazette, and what state utility regulators are disagreeing on. It's Thursday, November 14th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. The State Tribal Relations Committee is pressing Montana's congressional delegation to do more to increase public input and tribal consultation on the Keystone XL pipeline. As Olivia Reingold reports, the move comes as the end of the public comment period for a recently updated environmental statement nears.
The State Tribal Relations Committee unanimously adopted a motion Monday to write a letter demanding a more meaningful public comments process on the updated Keystone XL Pipeline's draft environmental impact statement. The letter asks Montana's congressional delegation to put pressure on the State Department, which controls the 45-day public comment period that is scheduled to end next Monday, the 18th. There's been one public meeting to discuss the draft, held late last month in Billings. That's not good enough, according to the letter by the State Tribal Relations Committee, a bipartisan body of legislators that acts as liaisons between the state and tribal governments. It says people who attended didn't have enough of a chance to openly engage in dialogue and provide input. It also says tribal consultation has fallen short for the Fort Belknap and Fort Peck tribes, which the pipeline would nearly come in contact with. Republican Congressman Greg Gianforte and Republican Senator Steve Daines say they look forward to speaking with committee members. A spokesperson for the Democratic Senator John Tester says the State Department should solicit further feedback from tribal leaders and the public. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
Olivia Reingold is Yellowstone Public Radio's Report for America Corps member. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has started the process to lift quarantine restrictions on Canyon Ferry Reservoir following a third year of no detections of invasive mussels. FWP anticipates the rule change, which requires public review, could take effect next spring. Canyon Ferry has been under quarantine since a suspect detection of invasive zebra or quagga mussels in 2016. If the quarantine is lifted, the lake's certified boater program would end and boat inspections would be handled by a mobile roving crew. The quarantine of the Tiber Reservoir, which had multiple positive mussel detections in 2016, will remain in place for another 2 years in line with regional policy. FWP says monitoring crews surveyed 300 water bodies for invasive plants and animals this year. No mussels were found. The department says it inspected a record 112,000 watercraft and inspected 16 boats carrying invasive mussels into the state. The federal government yesterday announced a new initiative to reduce gun violence and enforce national firearm laws. As Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports, part of the plan draws on existing strategies to curb gun violence.
Launched Wednesday by U.S. Attorney General William Barr, the program, dubbed Project Guardian, is a blend of tried and true and brand new measures to curb or prosecute gun violence. The program announcement comes amid an ongoing debate about gun violence in the United States. Project Guardian is based on several principles. Those include, but are not limited to, improved federal coordination with state, local, and tribal law enforcement during prosecution of violent gun crimes. Authorities also vow a more aggressive crackdown on people who lie during background checks to obtain a firearm. Montana's U.S. Attorney Kurt Almy was unavailable for comment by deadline Wednesday, but a press release issued by his office says Project Guardian draws on earlier achievements, including the Trigger Lock program, which expands federal prosecution of criminals who use firearms. Project Safe Neighborhoods is another inspiration. That's another nationwide U.S. Department of Justice initiative encouraging unprecedented cooperation and information sharing among federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies. PSN also aims to reduce demand for drugs like meth by developing substance abuse treatment and prevention programs. In the years since Project Safe Neighborhoods' launch in May of 2018, Missoula County authorities say local murders, robberies, and aggravated assaults dropped by almost 20%. Billings officials also credit the program with curbing violent crime in Yellowstone County. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
A journalism union based in Wyoming is criticizing executive leadership for recent layoffs at the Billings Gazette. I found out more. The Billings Gazette laid off three newsroom employees earlier this month. One sports reporter, a copy editor, and a recently hired photojournalism intern. On Tuesday, unions representing newsrooms at papers owned by Lee Enterprises, which also owns the Billings Gazette, released a joint statement on Twitter placing blame on Lee Enterprise executive leadership for recent cutbacks at the Billings Gazette and cutbacks to staff in Lee newsrooms across the country. The Southern Illinois Guild and the United Media Guild signed on to the statement released by the Casper News Guild. Seth Klamen covers education and health for the Casper Star Tribune and is a member of the Casper News Guild.
Billings is obviously in our area. They're our sister paper, but there have been cuts at other Lee papers as part of this sort of axe swinging. And we as a guild in Casper have been pretty active in doing this sort of thing since we organized almost 2 years ago. One of the reasons we organized is we wanted to be able to communicate to readers and to our community about what's happening to us.
In an editorial published this weekend, Billings Gazette editor Daryl Ehrlich attributed changes to the print version of the paper to rapid changes in advertising and in media more broadly. The editorial does not mention staff cuts. Ehrlich declined to comment for this story. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. Navajo Nation leaders say the tribe won't financially back bonds for a subsidiary energy company that recently acquired three mines in Wyoming and Montana. Olivia Reingold reports.
In a letter released Tuesday, Navajo Nation President Jonathan Nez says he wants to protect the tribe's finances as revenues decline from the loss of a coal plant and mine on the reservation. He wrote, the tribes won't back the bonds Navajo Transitional Energy Company needs for its newly acquired operating permits for the Antelope and Cordero Rojo mines in Wyoming and the Spring Creek mine in Montana. Entech bought the mines from bankrupt Cloud Peak Energy this summer. The mines, which continue to employ about 1,200 workers, will continue to operate because Cloud Peak's reclamation bonds remain in place, according to state officials. Company officials say they're confident they can secure necessary bonding. The bonds guarantee Entech can pay for reclamation efforts in unforeseen circumstances. That acts as an insurance policy, assuring taxpayers in Montana and Wyoming that they won't have to cover possible cleanup costs. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
Olivia Reingold is Yellowstone Public Radio's Report for America Corps member. State health officials recently finalized new rules and regulations for private youth therapeutic programs in the state. The programs were mostly self-regulated until this year when state lawmakers gave the Montana Health Department oversight. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton has more.
The new rules for private alternative adolescent residential programs, or PARP, will affect 18 programs statewide and cover everything from staffing ratios to kids' contact with parents and access to abuse reporting hotlines. The Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services held a public hearing on the rules back in September, where some program owners said the regulations would negatively impact their businesses, particularly nighttime staffing ratios. In the final rules announced last week, that ratio was changed from one staff for every 12 kids to 16. Denise Thorne is the executive director of Wood Creek Academy in Billings. She doesn't take any issue with the final rules.
We kind of were anticipating that rules and regulations are going to happen. So a lot of the things that they're asking for, we already have in place. There's some minimal things that we have to rearrange, like phone calls weekly, you know, where before it was biweekly.
These rules were partially influenced by the closure of Ranch for Kids in Rexford this summer following allegations of physical and psychological abuse DPHHS called credible. Dasha Springer attended Ranch for Kids from 2009 to 2011 and says she's happy the new rules are being put in place, but wishes she was afforded the same protections.
Why all of a sudden are these rules implemented? Why were the rules not even implemented from the start to make sure that nothing like that happened to us or to make sure that we have those resources from the beginning?
The Department of Health and Human Services says officials plan to begin on-site licensing inspections based on the new regulations. 9 programs are due to be inspected before July 1st, 2020. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
State utility regulators are nearing the end of a massive review of what Northwestern Energy charges its customers and what the company makes in profit. Several regulators this week are arguing over how the public was notified that they'll likely see an increase in their electric bills. Kayla DeRoche reports.
The 5-member Montana Public Service Commission voted unanimously at the end of October to approve a 1.23% increase to what Northwestern Energy can charge customers for electricity. The increase amounts to $6.5 million in revenue for the company. The PSC vote was a milestone in the first broad review of Northwestern's electric rates in 10 years. A final order in the rate case is expected later this year. PSC's communications director, who was out of town at the time of the vote, sent a press release 2 days after the October 30th work session with a comment from Chairman Brad Johnson. It did not mention the commissioner's approval on the rate increase. Instead, it outlined the process for approving the final rate case order later this year. Southwest Montana Commissioner Roger Koopman says news of the rate hike vote should have been released more publicly and with more input from the other commissioners. In a personal press release, Koopman accused Chairman Johnson of spreading false information. He said the dynamic within the Public Service Commission, currently all Republicans, is highly political.
It's something I've really seen for 7 years on the commission, but it's getting progressively worse.
PSC Communications Director Drew Zinnaker called it a, quote, misunderstanding and a matter of perspective, unquote. PSC Chairman Johnson, a commissioner for a section of Northwest Montana, called a press meeting Wednesday morning to tell his side of the story. He said the PSC's vote to approve the increase in electric rates was a small step in the much larger review of Northwestern Energy's finances.
I thought we addressed it the way that was appropriate at the time.
Johnson said PSC was transparent.
You know, we were being televised by MPAN. We were live streaming. There certainly was no effort to hide anything.
There doesn't appear to be a requirement for how soon staff must upload documents to its website, according to PSC attorney Justin Kraske. Kraske said the commission gave due notice of meetings as regulations require, but that's the extent of those regulations.
There's no specific, besides the general requirements, that a notice has to be reasonable to alert the public to discussions and decisions we have. There's no specific statutory guidance on that.
A final order on Northwestern Energy's rate case is expected by December 26th. Still to be decided in that case whether or not the PSC will approve the company's request for a new fee on homeowners generating electricity through rooftop solar. With help from Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney, I'm Kayla DeRoche with Yellowstone Public Radio News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for You Early Birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.